Hi, this is Keith Thompson, and I'm delighted and enthusiastically involved in getting to share some devotional time with you as we begin the new year. I want to share with you first a story. After I share the story, I'll kind of move into the scripture, and then after the scripture, move into just some other thoughts on all of this. And delighted to have you listening. When my wife Linda and I were married, we have three sons, and when they were young, our youngest child was scared of dogs. This was something that really seemed to bother him. It didn't matter big dog, little dog, he was just kind of scared of dogs. And so we decided we would get a dog so that he could get used to that. And we went to find a rescue dog. I went and hunted several different places for a dog, finally came across one, a kind of yellow lab mix. And I took my oldest son, who was not scared of dogs, along with me. And the selling point on this dog as soon as I got there was this dog absolutely loved my son. Just went nuts and excited just to be around him. Now, not so much for me. Was kind of scared of me. And I came to find out that this dog, who was named Bingo, Bingo had been abused by its previous owner. And so was scared of me. And it took a long time for Bingo to get over that. But I found out that Bingo had been beaten by that owner partly because Bingo would jump out of a 6-foot chain-link fenced yard and do whatever Bingo needed to do to get out of that yard. Well, when we got home, and we didn't have a chain-link fence yard at that time, we got home, and I found out that the only time Bingo really wanted to get out of the yard was when the kids were out of the yard. If they were in another yard, Bingo was going to do whatever Bingo needed to do to get out of that yard. We tried electric fences. We tried chain runs. We tried all sorts of different things. It was the strongest, fastest, highest-leaping dog I'd ever been around in my life, and nothing we could do was going to keep Bingo away from those kids. Now, I want you to hold on to that story for just a minute. One of the iconic stories in all of the Old Testament really is a time of exile. It's really a story that colors so much of the scriptures. And so I want to just remind you a little bit about that story, that when the people of Jerusalem were conquered by the Babylonians were a particularly cruel people. They worshiped gods that were, the more powerful the god, the more it tended to torment and to be cruel to other beings that were not as powerful. And we tend to emulate the gods that we worship. So when they conquered Jerusalem, they took the people and they began to scatter them throughout the land. Because if you scatter them and you separate them, you help them lose their identity and who they are. And after generation of keeping them separated and continuing to beat on them and to continue to beat down their own identities takes its toll after a while. I mean, the Babylonians were smart about this. They would use their own scriptures against them. And they would say things like, I've read your stories and your stories are true. You were made from dust and dust has no value. Nothing grows in dust and you are nothing. And you will never be anything, and nothing productive will ever come from you in all your life. And generation after generation, they would beat on them in that way and tear down their self-esteem and their identity and break them up as a people. But when the Babylonians were conquered and defeated, the people were allowed to begin to return to Jerusalem. And as they got back to Jerusalem, they started dusting off some of their old, iconic, foundational stories, these archetypal stories, and they started telling them to their kids with new emphasis. They would bring out old ancient Hebrew poetry because poetry has a way of speaking bigger truth than just factual words. And so they would look at their children and they would tell them the story of how everything began. And they would say these words from the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now, you know the scripture well enough. You've heard it throughout your lives to know that this poetry continues, and there's this repeating pattern in each day of creation. There is God looking at something and calling it good. And then there is morning, and there is evening, and then they'll name the day. And for everything that's created, God looks at it all and says, it is good. And then it's an orderly process of day and evening. And then the next day comes. Now think about how powerful this story is when your life has been chaos and all you've heard about any God is that you are evil and bad and everything about you is worthless. And so they would look their children in the eye and they would tell the next story. And in the next story, they would talk about a God of all of creation, of everything that exists, digging down into the depths of creation and shaping and forming and molding you. And then God would breathe God's own breath into you and give you life, handcrafted, uniquely made, not another one like you in all of the earth. And they would tell these stories over to their children again and again and again. And they would tell the story of God wanting to walk through the garden of life with you, side by side, talking with you, full companionship, fully loaded together in relationship with one another. That God's deepest desire, God's reason for creating us, God's whole intention in all of this is for us to be in relationship with one another and with God. Because God looks at us and says, it's not good to be alone. And more are created. We are to be in relationship with one another and with God. And that is the design of all that is and all that has ever been from the beginning of time. But, as it says in our communion liturgy, when we turned away and our love failed, God remained steadfast. So when we turn away, God sends prophet after prophet. This is our story. God sends prophet after prophet to come and speak to us, to share with us, to continue to call us back to a faithful relationship with God, that when we go astray, and if you'll notice when you read through the Old Testament, when we go astray is when things are going well. It's a repeated story throughout all of the Old Testament. Things go really well, we turn away from God, things start to go badly, and when they go badly enough, we turn back to God and we're faithful to God, and then things start to go better for us. This is the cycle of the Old Testament. But God sends people with powerful words like Hosea to come and speak to us and to share with us and to call us back into faithful relationship with God. People like Jeremiah to weep and wail over our lack of faithfulness and to bemoan the future ahead of us because we're not faithful. Or people like Ezekiel, who in vivid image can paint a picture for us that, well, encourages us strongly to get back into relationship with God. But this is God's way, that God keeps seeking us and wants nothing more in all that is but to be in relationship with us and for us to seek that relationship from God. And so we get to the New Testament in Luke and 1, and we start hearing, okay, there's another prophet that's come forward, this prophet, well, this one in the wilderness named John. And John's calling for us to repent and to be in good relationship with God. But when this is not enough, when we still won't listen, God puts skin in the game. And God says, no barrier, not between earth and human, heaven and earth. Nothing will stand between me and my relationship with you. And if you won't walk with me, I'm coming to walk with you. So this is the story. I mean, this is the story. It's the story in the beginning. And it's also the greatest story ever told of a God that there's no barrier from the beginning of creation to now to evermore that God won't go through to be in relationship with you. So when we hear ancient poetry, it's to remind us that there's a bigger truth than just, well, God was there and God can. It's that God looked upon each thing of creation and said, it is good. And there was order, and there was breath, and there was life. And that God, when God created us with the great truth of we are born and created to be in relationship with one another and with God. And so the greatest commandment we get is to love God and others with our whole being. And then we realize that there really is nothing that separates us from God, because God will jump through anything, any barrier necessary, because God loves us. I mean, if it can be true for a rescue dog, how much more true can it be for the Creator of us all? That's the truth, not just in the beginning, and not just when it was morning or evening, but always. That's the good news. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for the many ways that you come into our life. We give you thanks for the ways that you have created us and you continue to try to come into our life. And we give you thanks, God, that we know you will never give up on us and that you will always pursue us when we turn away and our love fails. Yours will always be steadfast. Thank you, God. Amen.